The way you think about yourself and your life determines almost everything that happens to you. Your primary business must be to take full control over your thinking and to keep your words and thoughts clearly focused on the things that you want in life. Simultaneously, you must keep your words and thoughts off of the things that you don't want. This simple formula is the real key to success, achievement, happiness, and personal growth. We're going to talk about possibility thinking. In possibility thinking, you continually look at your world and the things that are going on around you in terms of possibilities rather than in terms of difficulties or problems. Now, this is a habitual way of thinking. Like all habits, it is learned. It is something that you can develop with constant repetition until you become a generally positive and constructive person in everything you do. A positive mental attitude is closely associated with success in every area of life. A positive mental attitude has been talked about for many years, and we know that the kind of people that we like and want to be around are always people who are generally cheerful about themselves and their activities. On the other hand, no one wants to be around a negative, pessimistic, complaining person. Unfortunately, it's easy to slip into the habit of complaining and seeing things negatively. We are surrounded by negative influences on radio, television, newspapers, magazines, and, unfortunately, in our daily associations with other people. It's very hard to rise above the flood of negativity that engulfs us, but it's absolutely essential if you want to keep your spirits up and achieve your goals. A positive mental attitude can be defined as a constructive response to stress. Now, stress is inevitable. Failures, disappointments, setbacks, obstacles, and difficulties occur to everyone all the time. The only thing over which you have any control is how you respond to these stressful events. If you respond in a positive, constructive way, you'll maintain a generally positive attitude. As a result, you'll be more creative and alert and more likely to see opportunities to solve your problems and move toward accomplishing the things you want. If you respond negatively, your response will actually shut down certain parts of your brain. You will be less and less creative. You'll be more and more likely to simply react and respond instinctively and in a negative way. There is a 5-step power process that you can learn to practice and accelerate goal attainment and to keep yourself positive most of the time. This 5-step process condenses the very best that we've learned in behavioral psychology. It contains and illustrates all of the key principles that you need to know to be a highly effective, positive, possibility thinker in your own life. The 5 steps are, first, to idealize, second, to verbalize, third, to visualize, fourth, to emotionalize, and fifth, to realize. Let me go through them one by one. The starting point of changing your life and your personality, raising your self-esteem, and improving your levels of self-confidence and courage is for you to begin to idealize the kind of life that you want to have a week, a month, a year, and even 5 years from now. In session 1, we talked about dreaming big dreams. In idealizing, you go through each of the key areas of your life, and you imagine what it would look like if every part of your life were exactly as you would want it to be in every respect. Start with your income. How much do you want to be earning 1, 2, 3, and 5 years from today? What knowledge, skills, and abilities will you have to be able to earn that amount? What kind of work will you be doing? What level will you have to be at in your company or in your profession? Who will you have to be selling to, and what kinds of products and services will you have to be offering? When you idealize your income and your lifestyle, you begin to become a visionary in your own life. You begin to practice the most important quality of personal leadership, that of projecting into the future and thinking about how you can make your future dreams a current reality. When I do strategic planning for corporations, and when you do personal strategic planning for yourself, you always begin with a mission statement, a statement of exactly how you want to appear or be sometime in the future. For example, you could say something like, "I am a healthy, happy, positive personality who does excellent work, is paid extremely well, and is highly respected by his coworkers and deeply loved by his family." This kind of a mission statement or statement of your ideal future situation serves as an organizing principle that you can then use to compare against what you are doing on a day-to-day basis right now to see if it's consistent with where you want to end up. I conducted a strategic planning session for a large corporation not long ago. They had more than 250 potential projects on their plate. After we had defined the values, the vision, and the ideal mission of the company, they were immediately able to discard more than 200 of those potential projects. It was clear to everyone at the meeting that these projects were not consistent with who they were and where they wanted to be in the future. This can work for you as well. One of your problems today is that you are overwhelmed with too much to do, too many things to think about, too many possibilities, and too little time. By starting to become clear about where you want to end up in the future, you can begin creatively abandoning things that are simply not consistent with your highest good. You should idealize about your health as well. Exactly how much do you want to weigh, and what level of fitness do you want to enjoy? How does that compare with where you are today? What steps will you have to take, and what changes will you have to make in your health habits in order to become the ideal person that you desire to be personally? This becomes your future vision for yourself, your ideal. You should also idealize with regard to your family relationships. A good friend of mine sat down with his wife and children not long ago, and they idealized together about how to best spend their time as a family if they had no limitations. As a result of this exercise, they made some decisions. They moved out of the big city to a larger home with a bigger yard in the country. He reorganized his work week so that he worked 10 and 12-hour days, 4 days per week in the city, and then worked only 3 or 4 hours per day in his office at home in the country. He ended up spending far more time with his family and getting far more satisfaction out of life. But both his results and his income actually increased with his new plan. You need to set ideals for yourself with regard to your personal and professional development. What kind of a person do you want to be in the future? What kind of additional knowledge and skills do you want to acquire? Do you want to learn languages or become fluent with computers and online services? What subjects do you want to major in? What is your growth plan to get from where you are to where you want to go? In my experience, the defining of your ideal in any area of your life that is important to you is the starting point of making decisions in the present that will lead to greater success and happiness in the future. And as you feel yourself moving towards the achievement of a worthy ideal, you feel happier and more confident. The more progress you make toward a clear goal or set of ideal conditions, the more energy and enthusiasm you have. In a study of highly successful men and women by the Gallup Organization, the respondents in the study attributed much of their success to intelligence. But when they went back and asked them to define intelligence, they got a very interesting answer. They defined intelligence as a way of acting, as doing only those things that move them in the direction of their highest goals and ambitions. Intelligence was further defined as thinking through and eliminating those time-consuming activities that did not move them in the direction of their goals, or even worse, move them away from their goals. Whenever you are doing something that's moving you in the direction of your own self-professed goals and ideals, you are acting intelligently. This is true irrespective of your education or your IQ. This is why there are many people of average intelligence who are accomplishing far more than people with university degrees, because the people with average intelligence are focusing all of their time and activities on accomplishing only those goals which are uppermost in their minds and hearts. The second part of this 5-step process is for you to verbalize clearly the things that you want to do, have, and be. By verbalization, we mean the use of positive affirmations. The wonderful thing about affirmations is that with them, your potential is unlimited. The law of subconscious activity says that whatever you repeat over and over to yourself in your conscious mind will eventually be accepted by your subconscious mind. Once your subconscious mind accepts your conscious thoughts as a command, it goes to work to bring those goals into your life. With positive affirmations, you can take full control over the programming of your subconscious mind. You can tap into an enormous power that can help you 24 hours per day to move in the direction of higher income, better health, better relationships, and greater success in your field. A positive affirmation is based on the 3 P's. This means that an affirmation is personal, positive, and present tense. Your subconscious mind can only take in new information that is framed in the positive, personal, present tense case. For example, one of the best of all affirmations is, I like myself. Repeat it over and over again. When you repeat the words, I like myself, over and over, 10, 20, 30, and 50 times per day, you drive this message deep into your subconscious mind. This affirmation raises your self-esteem, and your performance seems to improve in everything that you attempt. The more you like yourself, the better you do, and the better you do, the more you like yourself. Another great affirmation that you can use continually is to repeat the words, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. By continually talking to yourself in highly positive terms, by being your own cheerleader, you find yourself doing better and better at everything you attempt. Another wonderful affirmation I began using many years ago is, I love my work. I love my work. Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel particularly excited about your work, but you can take control over your mental processes by repeating, I love my work, until it actually feels true. One of the very best affirmations is for you to say, I like myself and I love my work. I like myself and I love my work. This affirmation, repeated enthusiastically several times every morning, seems to rev you up and get you excited about getting to your job. Fully 95% of your emotions are determined by the way you talk to yourself. Dr. Martin Seligman's work on learned optimism at the University of Pennsylvania concluded that your explanatory style is the critical factor in determining whether you are a positive or negative person. Your explanatory style is defined as how you explain things to yourself. If you explain things to yourself in a positive way, you tend to be positive. If you explain them in a negative way, you tend to be negative. What Seligman concluded in his research is that optimistic people, when something goes wrong, always explain it as though it were a temporary, specific situation rather than a long-term, general condition. What this means is that, let us say you make a sales call and it doesn't work out. If you're a positive person, you'll say something like, well, it's just one sales call. This makes it temporary. You'll say, the customer's probably having a bad day. This makes it specific. You say, I'll be more successful on the next call. This makes you future-oriented. When you dismiss temporary setbacks in this way, you remain a pretty cheerful person. Negative people, on the other hand, when they have a problem in their lives, immediately interpret it as a personal statement about their deficiencies. If the sales call doesn't work out, they say, I must be a terrible salesperson. The product's no good. Customers aren't interested in what we have to sell, or I'll never succeed in this field. In other words, they overgeneralize and overdramatize a small failure rather than dismissing it and getting on to the next call. And this is purely a matter of choice. You control your emotions by how you choose to explain a situation to yourself. In verbalizing your goals in the form of positive affirmations, you should use words that your subconscious can relate to easily. Make your statements simple and practical. For example, I like myself is personal. I'm the best is personal and positive. And I love my work is personal, positive, and present tense. In each case, these affirmations are immediately accepted by your subconscious mind as commands, and they immediately have an impact on how you think and feel about yourself. You can keep yourself positive and optimistic by continually talking to yourself in positive ways. Sometimes this is called your interpretive style, how you interpret things that are happening around you. The multimillionaire W. Clement Stone was famous for this, for being an inverse paranoid. A paranoid is someone who believes that people are conspiring against him or her. An inverse paranoid, on the other hand, is a person who is convinced that the world is conspiring to make him successful. He looks upon everything that happens as part of a great plan with a positive meaning. W. Clement Stone used to respond to every difficulty with the emphatic statement, "That's good," and then he would go to work to find out what was good about the situation. Remember when we talked about the power of decision? We said that if you change the definition of a problem to a situation, a challenge, or even better, an opportunity, your response to the problem would be completely different. If you look at every problem as a potential opportunity, you'll often find within the problem a possibility or opportunity that you can use. Norman Vincent Peale used to say that when God wants to send you a gift, he wraps it up in a problem. The bigger the problem that you have, the bigger the gift, in the form of valuable lessons, ideas, and insights that it probably contains. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? It's up to you. The third part of the five-point process is visualization. We've talked about visualization before and how powerful it is in helping you to achieve your goals. And everyone visualizes, by the way. But successful people visualize the things they want, and unsuccessful people visualize the things they don't want. Let me give you a simple example. Prior to every new experience, successful people recall and relive a previous successful experience of that same kind. Unsuccessful people, on the other hand, prior to a new experience, recall and relive a previous failure experience. In either way, they're creating a predisposition, an instruction to their subconscious mind to act in a manner consistent with their visualization. In visualizing, you project your mind forward and you soak your mind in a picture of your ideal future goal. You imagine what it would look like if it were already achieved. You make your picture as vivid as possible. You repeat this mental picture over and over as often as you possibly can during the day and for as long a period of time as you can. There's a direct relationship between how clearly you visualize on the inside and how rapidly your goal comes into reality on the outside. Visualization is one of the most powerful faculties available to you to become a possibility thinker, to think big about your life and your future, and to make your current dreams into future realities. There are three techniques that you can use combining verbalization and visualization. These are often called mental programming techniques, and they're extraordinarily effective in preparing yourself and your mind for an upcoming event. The first of these methods is what is called the quick programming technique. Prior to any non-recurring event of importance, like a sales call or a meeting or an interview, take a few moments and prepare your mind. You do this by taking a few deep breaths, which drops your mind into the alpha state and makes your subconscious mind receptive to an incoming command. You then visualize the ideal outcome of the situation you are going into. For example, if you're making a sales call, visualize the client responding to you in a happy, positive way, and especially visualize the client signing the check or sales order at the end of the conversation. One of my good friends has used this for many years to become one of the highest paid people in his industry. He says it is absolutely amazing how many times the sales situation works out exactly as he visualized it in advance before he went in. Try it for yourself and see. The next part of a quick programming technique is for you to verbalize or create a positive affirmation that is consistent with your mental picture. A simple affirmation would be something like, "This sales call goes extremely well and concludes satisfactorily for everyone involved." This simply instructs your subconscious mind to give you the words, feelings, actions, reactions, and body language consistent with achieving your goal of a successful call. We teach this same quick affirmation technique to people going on job interviews, people giving public talks, people performing in the arts, and even to politicians. It's an extraordinarily effective technique, and it only takes a few seconds prior to each event. The second way to keep yourself positive and focused is what is called standard affirmation technique. This involves your writing out your major goals in the form of present, positive, personal affirmations on 3x5 index cards, one goal per card. Carry these cards around with you. At the beginning of each day, take a few minutes by yourself and read through your goal cards. You can work on 10 to 15 goals at a time using this method. Take the first card and read it. Perhaps the first card says, "I earn $50,000 per year." This is positive, personal, and present tense. Read the card and let your eyes focus on the message so that it transfers into your subconscious mind. Then, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and repeat the affirmation 5 times. As you affirm, visualize your goal as already achieved. See it. Feel it. Then, open your eyes and read the next card. This entire exercise with 10 or 15 goals takes about 10 minutes. It programs your entire subconscious mind and prepares you to perform at your very best for the rest of the day on attaining each of your goals. If you do this each morning and each evening before you start out and before you go to bed, you will be absolutely amazed at how quickly your goals begin to materialize. Someone once said, "I'd rather begin a day without breakfast than begin a day without affirmations." By the way, your subconscious mind controls the power of attraction in your life. So the more you feed your subconscious mind with the words and pictures consistent with what you want to accomplish, the more you become a living magnet and attract people, opportunities, ideas, and resources into your life that make your goals a possibility. The third programming technique that you can use is often called mental rehearsal in sports psychology. This is where you sit or lie down completely relaxed with your eyes closed and breathe deeply until your whole body is calm and quiet. Then, you clearly visualize an upcoming event or a goal that you desire. You allow yourself to float into the goal and see it clearly in your mind. One of the very best times for mental programming is just before you go to sleep. By verbalizing and visualizing your ideal goals or activities for the coming day immediately prior to sleeping, you program your subconscious mind to go to work on those goals all night long. Often, when you wake up in the morning, you'll have insights and ideas that you can use to make those goals a reality. It's an amazing technique, and it is extremely effective. It is taught all over the world. Top athletes use this method continually to prepare for peak performance. By the way, you can use this technique to pre-program your mind for a variety of things as well. For example, let us say that you have a problem that you're worried about. Just before you go to sleep, turn this problem over to your subconscious mind and ask for a solution. Then, just forget it and go to sleep. Very often, when you wake up in the morning, the solution will occur to you, and it will be crystal clear and perfect in every respect. One of the ways I use this form of mental programming is to assure that I wake up positive and energetic. This method is very simple. Just before going to sleep, I say, "When I wake up in the morning, I feel terrific." I repeat this several times. I see myself getting up the next morning feeling wonderful about myself. And every single time I wake up in the morning feeling positive and refreshed, regardless of how little sleep I might have had the night before. By using this technique, you can also wake up without an alarm clock. You can travel and wake up without jet lag, no matter how much you travel. It's absolutely amazing, but these things happen to you on a regular basis when you begin to tap into the higher powers of your mind. The fourth part of the five-step process, following the steps of idealizing, verbalizing, and visualizing, is emotionalizing. This is the core of the technique and the heart of the matter. This is the part that makes everything else work for you. You are completely emotional. Everything you do is governed and controlled by your emotions in some way. Most people are slaves to their emotions. They have very little control over them. They continually react and respond to whatever is going on around them. But this is not for you. By using your emotions deliberately and purposefully, especially by keeping them positive and focused on what you want, you can put enormous power behind your visualizations, your verbalizations, and your idealizations. Remember, the more emotion you put behind a statement that you make or an image that you hold in your mind, the more rapidly that statement or mental picture transforms into your reality and the more effect it has on your thinking and behavior. The key is for you to get the feeling that you would experience and enjoy if your goal were already realized. Imagine, for example, that your goal is to earn a certain amount of money. You project forward and you see yourself earning this kind of money. You see the larger house, the better car, the better clothes, the better restaurants, and the better lifestyle that you will enjoy when you're earning this actual amount of money. You then imagine how you would feel if you were enjoying all these ingredients of success. You imagine or create the feelings of pride and happiness and satisfaction, of pleasure and joy and deep inner reward that you would have once you achieve this goal. Just like a person soaking in a hot bath, you soak your mind in these feelings exactly as if you were already at your destination. When you combine a mental picture plus a verbalization with an emotion, you activate your subconscious mind and through it your superconscious mind. People who practice this regularly are absolutely astonished at the things they accomplished, and you will be as well. Your superconscious mind, which is available to you 24 hours per day, will give you insights and ideas that you can use to solve your problems and achieve your goals. It will show you how to get around or over any obstacle that appears. It will bring you the information that you need at exactly the right time for you. It will bring you flashes of insight, intuition, and hunches that enable you to make the right decisions. Your subconscious mind will also give you energy, enthusiasm, and motivation that will drive you toward your goals. The key to activating this process is for you to idealize, verbalize, visualize, and especially to emotionalize. The fifth step in this five-step power process is for you to realize, to actually achieve your goal, to have your wishes come true. This is a terribly important step, and it is based on the fact that every goal takes a certain amount of time to materialize. Some goals can be achieved quickly, some are medium-term, and some are long-term. But your attitude toward goal attainment has an inordinate impact on whether and when you accomplish it. In the realization phase, after you've gone through the first four steps, you simply relax and let go of the process and let it take care of itself in its own time. Exactly the things that you want and need will come to you at exactly the time that you are ready for them. This explains why it is that successful people seem to have an attitude of calm, confident expectation. They're never rushed or hurried. They are relaxed and optimistic, and they absolutely believe that everything is conspiring to bring them exactly what they want at exactly the right time for them. This must be your attitude as well. You can accelerate this five-step process by using reinforcement techniques in response to the things that happen to you each day. First of all, no matter what happens, look for the good in every situation. Look for the valuable lesson. Look for what you can gain from any temporary setback or obstacle. Napoleon Hill, in his 25-year study of successful men and women, found that one characteristic they all had in common was that they continually looked into every difficulty for the seed of an equal or greater benefit or advantage. They constantly looked for the silver lining to even their darkest cloud. And what we know is this. If you are looking for something good to come from every situation, you will tend to be positive, creative, and constructive. You will be future-oriented. You will be optimistic and happy. If you're absolutely convinced that you're going to benefit from everything that happens to you, not only will you maintain the attitude of the possibility thinker, but you will almost always find something good that you can turn to your benefit or advantage. Something else that you can do to become and remain a possibility thinker is to get up and read 30 to 60 minutes in something uplifting and inspirational each morning. The first hour of the morning is often called the rudder of the day. When you get up in the morning and instead of reading the newspaper or watching television, you read something positive, constructive, and inspiring, you set your mental stage for the rest of the day. Throughout the day, things will go better for you. You'll be calmer, more creative, and more alert. You'll be more resilient and will respond more effectively when you face the inevitable ups and downs of your daily life. Just as vigorous physical exercise in the morning will prepare you to be more resilient physically during the day, positive mental exercise in the form of inspirational reading will prepare you to be more mentally resilient during the day as well. You can increase your levels of optimism each day by planning every day in advance. The ideal time to plan is the night before. Make a list of everything you have to do in the coming day and then go over the list and set priorities on each item. It's amazing how much better you sleep and how much more positively you will awake when you have already pre-planned your day, when you know what you're going to do and in what order. Start your day as well by eating healthy, nutritious foods. Eat more fruits, vegetables, and whole grain products. Drink more fruit juices and water. Eat whole grain breakfast cereals, muffins, and breads. At the same time, avoid fatty foods that weigh you down and tire you out. The standard American breakfast of bacon, eggs, and toast is one of the very worst combinations you can eat in the morning. Within an hour after eating these foods, you'll start to become drowsy again. All the blood in your brain will rush to your stomach to try to break down these heavy, fatty, overcooked proteins. But by starting every day with a light, healthy, nutritious breakfast, you'll have more energy. You'll be more alert and positive. You'll be more eager to get on with the day. You'll be more creative because more of your blood is available to your brain. You will see more possibilities in everything that's going on around you, and you'll become a generally more cheerful person. Finally, to be a possibility thinker, in addition to good mental and physical nutrition, you need to get plenty of rest. Vince Lombardi, the great Green Bay Packers football coach, once wrote, "Fatigue doth make cowards of us all." What he found was when you were not getting enough rest, it predisposed you toward negativity, pessimism, and a lack of self-confidence. But when you're fully rested and you're eating well, when you're feeding your mind with positive messages continually, when you're reading inspirationally and constantly visualizing your goals as a reality, you become a positive, optimistic, cheerful, and unstoppable human being. You wake up in the morning with the feeling that there is nothing that you cannot do if you put your mind to it, and if you hold that thought long enough and hard enough, it becomes true in your life. Every successful person has experienced numerous temporary setbacks, obstacles, and even outright defeat in the course of his life. But it was his ability to respond positively and constructively to these defeats and to bounce back that ultimately determined his success. And this quality of bouncing rather than breaking will determine your success as well. Dr. Abraham Zelsnick of the Harvard Business School did a study some years ago on the role that disappointment played in life. In the past, many people had researched motivation and its relationship to success, but Zelsnick was the first person who looked at the other side of the coin. What he found was interesting. He discovered that successful people respond to disappointment differently from unsuccessful people. He concluded at the end of his studies that the way you respond to a disappointment is an extremely good indicator of your likelihood of being successful later in life. If you're a normal, intelligent person, you will organize every part of your life to avoid failure and disappointment. You will pre-plan as much as possible and take the necessary precautions. You will weigh and balance different situations and go in the direction that you feel offers the greatest opportunities for success or for happy completion of your tasks and goals. Therefore, disappointment comes unbidden. Disappointment comes in spite of all your best efforts to avoid it. Disappointment then becomes an inevitable and unavoidable fact of life. As sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, you are going to experience disappointments continually. The only thing that matters then is what you do with the disappointment when it comes upon you, unwanted and unexpectedly. My friend Charlie Jones says, "It's not how far you fall, but how high you bounce that counts." Successful people respond to disappointment by taking it in stride. Unsuccessful people allow disappointments to overwhelm them. Successful people recover and continue forward. Unsuccessful people often quit and go back. One of the most powerful principles of thinking big and bouncing back from defeat lies in mental pre-preparation. You can have very little control over your emotions and reactions at the moment that something happens to you. At that moment, you will react instinctively, habitually, based on your previous mental programming. It's too late to begin to think of fine and noble thoughts when you are overwhelmed with a temporary defeat or setback. Epictetus, the Greek Stoic philosopher, once wrote, "Circumstances do not make the man, they only reveal him to himself, and to others for that matter." It is not the adverse situation that builds your character so much as it reveals your character as it exists at that moment. Mental pre-preparation enables you to prepare internally in advance for the inevitable disappointments that come, even though you do not know what they are or when they will arrive. This is one of the most powerful of all mental techniques that you can use to keep yourself positive and moving forward. In mental pre-preparation, you begin with the premise that you are going to face all kinds of problems and difficulties when you set off in the direction of a goal. In fact, if you set a high, challenging, worthwhile goal that takes you out of your comfort zone and sets higher standards for yourself than you have ever before achieved, you're going to meet with countless obstacles and frustrations that you cannot now imagine. This is something that seems to go with the territory. Every time you try to be or do something different, roadblocks will appear to discourage you and to scare you back into your comfort zone, to keep you at a lower level of performance. So you mentally prepare for these inevitable difficulties in advance. You say to yourself, "Today I will face all kinds of ups and downs, defeats and setbacks, but I will not let them get me down. Once I start toward my goal, I will be unstoppable." In business consulting, I teach a way of thinking called crisis anticipation. This is where decision makers are encouraged to look down the road 6 to 12 months and ask the question, what are some of the negative things that could happen that would derail our plans? They then make a list of all the different things that could happen. A competitor could come out with a new product or service that was better and or cheaper. Interest rates could go up. Governments could place new taxes and regulations on their activities. Costs of fuel or raw materials could increase. A key person or persons within the organization could depart for some reason. A key customer or customers could leave and go to a competitor. Competitors could cut their prices below costs in order to take the business away. In each of these cases, the ability of the company to respond quickly and constructively could determine its viability and its very survival. Royal Dutch Shell of Holland has one of the most complete forward strategic planning processes of any company in the world. They have developed over 600 scenarios of things that might happen around the world in areas where they have oil operations. As a result, they're seldom surprised by anything that happens. They always have a backup plan ready to go. They have also become one of the most continuously profitable and successful companies in the world because of this approach to doing business in world markets. And what is successful for large and small corporations can be successful for you as well. You should engage in regular exercises of crisis anticipation. Look down the road in your life and think about the negative things that might happen and how you would respond to them. You will be absolutely amazed at how much stronger and more positive you are when you've already thought through your alternative courses of action in case major disappointments or setbacks occur. For example, what would you do if you lost your job today? The fear of losing one's job is a major fear in the American workplace, affecting 37% of employees. I got a letter recently from a gentleman who told me that his fear of losing his job, which he recognized was completely irrational, was so great that it was paralyzing him and holding him back from doing the kind of work that he had to do in order to keep his job. Sometimes I ask people in my audiences, what is your next job going to be? For most people, this is a real surprise. Most people have not even thought about what their next job is going to be. But we know that since the world of work is changing so dramatically, and you have already changed jobs several times, that it is virtually inevitable that you will change jobs again, and perhaps sooner than you expect. When I explain that you must be continually in preparation for your next job, it comes as a surprise to most people. The question is this: what level of knowledge, skills, and ability will you have at your next job in order to continue to earn the kind of money that you want to earn in the future? If you don't think about this question in advance, you may be forced to think about it when your time has completely run out. After people have thought about this for a few moments, I ask the second question. What is your next career going to be? What entirely new field, industry, business, or line of work are you going to be doing in 5 to 10 years from now? We know that the average person starting work today will have 14 or 15 full-time jobs, each lasting 2 years or more, and as many as 5 different careers in completely different industries requiring completely different sets of knowledge and skills. According to an educational journal published recently, as much as 99% of all the things you know about your current work will be obsolete and of no value in 5 years. Because of rapid change, your information, ideas, and even skills will be obsolete. What this means is that you must be continually playing down the board, as they say in chess. Another way to put it is to recall the Wayne Gretzky story. When asked why it was that he is perhaps the finest hockey player in the sport today, he replied simply that most players are pretty good, but they go to where the puck is. I go to where the puck is going to be. This is extremely insightful. Where is your puck going to be 3 to 5 years from now? Where is your puck going to be 10 years from now? Remember, long-time perspective makes you far more effective in the short term, and those who do not think about the future cannot have one. So look down the road of your life and anticipate some of the setbacks that could occur. If you lost your job, what would you do? In working with many thousands of successful people, I have found that they all have one particular attitude in common. They know with complete assurance that if they lost their job, they could walk across the street and get another job tomorrow. The great majority of people, when they think about losing their jobs, go into a form of panic. They have no idea what they would do. Sometimes I ask my audiences what they would do if their entire industry disappeared overnight. They shake their heads and they say that can't possibly happen. And then I point out that the defense industry in California literally collapsed in a 3-year period, and over 400,000 highly competent defense engineers and executives with many years of education and experience were rendered obsolete. Their jobs were not only gone, they were gone forever. Each of these thousands of competent, capable men and women was forced into the position of going out into the marketplace, developing new skills, and going to work in an entirely new area. And this is going to happen more and more often to more and more people. If you have invested your money, you should be continually thinking about what might happen if your investments went bad and you lost it all. As I mentioned with regard to John Paul Getty, you must always be considering the worst possible outcome of a particular situation. The French general Napoleon dominated the continent of Europe for almost 20 years. He led his armies in hundreds of battles all over the continent and only lost 3 in his entire career. He lost by taking his vast army to Russia and losing it in the Russian winter. He lost the Battle of Leipzig, which led to his being exiled to the island of Elba. And finally, he lost at the Battle of Waterloo due to a series of miscommunications with his field generals. But he won hundreds of other battles, small and large, and is considered to be one of the 2 or 3 greatest military geniuses in all of history. Napoleon had a quality that you can develop. Sometimes it is called an extrapolatory mentality. This was his phenomenal ability to arrive onto the field of a potential battle in advance and to think through every single possible twist and turn of the battle to its logical conclusion before it began. Once he had done this, he could stay at his command headquarters directing the battle, and no matter what news he received from any part of the battlefield, he was always ready with an instant reply. Many people thought that he was a quick and brilliant thinker, which he was, but that was not the secret of his success. His secret was that he had thought through all the eventualities in advance. This ability to think through every major situation in your life in advance is an ability that you can develop through practice. If you work with a company, you should be sitting down and thinking through the worst possible things that could happen 6 or 12 months down the road that would affect your job and your income. If you own the company, you should be doing the same for your company. You and your spouse should be thinking on a regular basis about setbacks and disappointments that might occur, and then make plans to guard against them. You read continually about people who have failed to insure properly, losing their homes, their cars, and sometimes all of their possessions. They fail to look into the future and ask what the consequences to their life would be if a fire occurred in their home or if they had a traffic accident and they weren't sufficiently insured. One of the smartest things that you can do to remain positive and resilient in the face of disappointments and setbacks is to save at least 10% and even 20% of your income on a regular basis. There is nothing that gives you more strength and resilience than for you to have a cash reserve put away in the event of an unexpected emergency or opportunity. And there's nothing that will cause you more stress and tension than to be living on the edge of your financial resources, unable to respond if you have a financial need or setback of any kind. A very wealthy man once wrote, "If you cannot save money, then the seeds of greatness are not in you." Your ability to save money, to discipline yourself to live within your income, is a key measure of your ability to succeed in life. If you don't have the internal self-control to refrain from spending everything you make, every single paycheck, it simply means that you don't have the mental discipline to take advantage of opportunities when they come along. And because of the law of attraction, this negative force field of energy in your mind will actually repel opportunities away from you. A man came up to me at a seminar recently and asked me if I remembered him. I told him that I spoke to quite a few people and I didn't remember all of them. He told me that he had been through my 2-day seminar about 6 years ago. He said that he had an interesting story to tell. He waited till everyone had left because he was quite shy, and then he told me about the most remarkable series of events that had happened to him since the seminar. When he attended the seminar, he told me, he was a used car salesman. He had 2 children, and he was in his early 30s. He had far more debts than income, and he was living in a rented house with his family. After the seminar, he decided that his biggest source of worry was the fact that he was in debt and had no money in the bank. So he set a goal to get out of debt and to save $30,000 over the next 5 years. Once he had set the goal and made a plan, he achieved his goal in only 3 years. He was out of debt, and he had $30,000 in the bank. And as it usually happens, his boss one day called him in and asked him if he was interested in a business opportunity. He was very flattered and asked his boss what he was talking about. His boss said that he had observed how much better he had become month after month in his job, and he had also heard that he had saved up some money from his income. This gentleman was shy and cautious, and he asked his boss what he was leading up to. His boss told him that he had been approached by the automobile manufacturer for a recommendation for a new car dealership in the same city in a growing part of town. The boss said that he was willing to back him in this dealership and to go in with him as a full partner if this gentleman was willing to put in his money as well. The bottom line of this story was that his boss helped him set up the new dealership, helped him with all the purchasing decisions, parts decisions, service department decisions, and staffing, and after 2 years, his boss sold his equity back to him, so he ended up owning the dealership all by himself. Then he said to me, "And today, I'm a millionaire." He said, "6 years ago, I was a used car salesman, and today, I'm a millionaire." He was one of the happiest people I've ever met. He said that if he had not taken that advice from the seminar and begun saving his money and getting out of debt, he would have not been in a position to take advantage of that opportunity when it came along. He said, "Taking your seminar probably saved me 20 years of hard work, and maybe even a lifetime." So one of the things that you can do to remain strong and resilient in the face of disappointment is to prepare mentally, financially, and physically in advance. Think through what might possibly happen and make plans to minimize or escape the consequences of a potential disappointment completely. This way of thinking is the mark of the superior individual. Here are two questions that you can ask to turn failure into success. I call these the two magic questions. You can apply them on a regular basis to everything you do. Ask them after every experience. The first question is, what did I do right? No matter what you did or how it works out, whether a success or a failure, do an instant replay of the event and assess everything you did right in that situation. No matter how badly something turns out, there were many things that you did that were correct. If you can isolate them and identify them by thinking about them, and even better, by writing them down, you'll be pre-programming your mind to repeat the right things that you did in the next similar situation. The second magic question is, what would I do differently? This is an excellent question because it forces you to think positively about what happened. Ask yourself, if you had to do it over again, how would you change or improve your performance or behavior in that situation? What would you do more of or less of? Again, write your answers down on a piece of paper. Each time you have a new experience, immediately sit down with a pad of paper and answer those two questions. What did I do right? And what would I do differently? The wonderful thing about these questions is that they are both positive, and they both require positive responses. The underachiever almost invariably rehashes the mistakes he's made, the expenses he's incurred, and the failures he's experienced. The high achiever, on the other hand, the person who thinks big about himself and his life, is constantly reviewing the most positive parts of his performance and planning to repeat those parts of his performance in subsequent events. When you think about what you did right and what you could do differently next time, your mind will be completely positive. All your creative juices will be flowing. You will see all kinds of opportunities and possibilities that you would have missed completely if you allowed yourself to feel sorry for yourself after an unsuccessful event. If you're in sales, use this method after every sale. Use this method so often and so regularly that it becomes automatic. No matter how disappointed you are, you will be automatically pre-programmed to thoroughly evaluate the situation and extract every kernel of good that you can possibly get from it. If you're in business, you should ask this question on a regular basis of yourself and your key staff. What did we do right? And what would we do differently next time? If you combine this method with the 20-idea method I explained earlier, you'll be absolutely astonished at the number of powerful ideas that you come up with. These ideas will dramatically reduce the time it takes you to learn the lessons you need to learn to be successful next time. Thomas Edison, the greatest inventor of the modern age, as I mentioned before, always kept accurate records of every experiment. He felt that experimenting was a process of elimination. He simply continued to eliminate the ways that wouldn't work until the only thing left standing was the one way that would work. As a result, he became one of the wealthiest and most important people in the history of American industry. When you experience a disappointment of any kind, your natural reaction will be to feel a little bit stunned emotionally. You will feel as though you have been punched in your emotional solar plexus. You will feel hurt, let down, disappointed, and a bit sad. You will even have an impulse to quit that entire course of action and do something completely different. These feelings are normal and natural. The only question is, how long do they last? When you go to a doctor for a thorough medical exam, the The doctor will ask you to engage in some aerobic exercises to get your heart rate up. Once your heart rate is up to a particular point, the doctor will measure your resting heart rate 1, 2, and 5 minutes after the exercise. The mark of how healthy you are is how rapidly you go back to normal resting heartbeat after working out. The mark of how mentally healthy you are is how quickly you bounce after experiencing a disappointment. Of course it will hurt. It always hurts if what you are trying to do is important to you, but that's not the main point. The main point is how quickly you recover. Your recovery rate is everything. And if you pre-plan and pre-program the way we've talked about through this session, your recovery rate will be very fast. Remember, your recovery rate is totally determined by the way you think about what happens to you. As Shakespeare wrote, "Nothing is, but thinking makes it so." Here are some powerful affirmations that I've developed that you can use to take immediate mental and emotional control over a negative situation. The first, no matter what happens, is for you to say, "I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible." Your natural tendency when something goes wrong will be for you to become angry, upset, and either to blame someone else or something else, or to make excuses. By the instant that you say, "I am responsible," the words will neutralize your tendency to blame other people. They neutralize your feelings of disappointment, anger, and frustration. The instant that you say, "I am responsible," your mind becomes calm and clear again, and you begin to think of positive, constructive things that you can do to minimize the damage or to maximize the opportunity. The second affirmation that I use, which has been extraordinarily helpful to me over the years, is no matter what has happened and no matter how disappointed I immediately say, "Every experience is a positive experience if I view it as an opportunity for growth and self-mastery." This statement enables you to assert full control over your emotions. Again, like the words, "I am responsible," these words give you a sense of control, power, and strength in any situation. Every situation is a positive situation if I view it as an opportunity for growth and self-mastery. Then, look into the situation and ask yourself what you can possibly learn from what has happened. How can you grow? What has this situation been sent to teach you? If you had a divine force that was controlling your destiny and this force was sending you specific learning experiences to help you to be successful, what learning experience could you find contained in your current difficulty? If you're looking for a solution or a valuable lesson from every difficulty, it's not possible for you to be upset or angry. Your mind can only hold one thought at a time, positive or negative. If you use the law of substitution and you deliberately force yourself to think about the positive aspects of the situation, you will always find them, and you will then be able to turn them to your advantage. Psychologists say that a positive mental attitude, which means a positive and constructive response to disappointments and setbacks, is largely determined by your feeling of having a sense of control. A sense of control means that you feel that you are in control of your own life. You feel that you are in charge. You feel that you are in the driver's seat. You feel that you are on top of things. One of the most powerful techniques to help you bounce back from failure is to put it into its proper perspective. Remember, failure is never final, and most mistakes that you make are small relative to the great scheme of things. If you think back, you'll probably not even be able to remember what it was that you were worrying about a year ago, much less 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. The key to your having a feeling of being in control is for you to have a clear sense of direction. This sense of direction comes from having clear, specific, written goals. One of the most powerful techniques I've ever learned to keep your mind positive and to keep yourself bouncing rather than breaking is to simply think about your goals. When something goes wrong, think about your goals. When you lose a job or investment, think about your goals. When a sale collapses or a piece of business fails to come through, think about your goals. Your long-term goals are to be financially independent, completely healthy, to have wonderful relationships, and to do work that makes a difference in the world, and to do it extremely well. When you keep your mind on these goals and on your specific definitions of these goals, it's almost impossible for you to feel upset or negative about things that happen in the short term. Peter Drucker, the management consultant, continually advises people to think in terms of cycles and trends. Think in terms of ups and downs. Think in terms of summers and winters, falls and springs. When you develop this long-term perspective and you see things in the long term, you're much more capable of rolling with short-term fluctuations in your fortunes. You can put things into their proper place. You can shrug your shoulders and say something like, "Oh well, what can't be cured must be endured." William James of Harvard once wrote that the very first step in dealing with any difficulty is to be willing to have it so. Many of our problems in dealing with disappointments come from the phenomenon of resistance. We engage in denial. We become angry and insist that this should not have happened and should not have happened to us. We reject it or hope that it didn't occur in the first place. And it is this resistance and denial that causes most of our stress. When you say, "What can't be cured must be endured," you lower your flashpoint. You become more relaxed. You become calmer and you develop a more detached perspective. You stand back and you look at the situation as though it were happening to someone else. As a result, you can become more constructive about how the situation can best be repaired. You don't allow yourself to get emotionally involved in every up and down of your life. Abraham Lincoln wrote that most people are just about as happy as they make up their minds to be. In The Course in Miracles, there is a line that says, "You give meaning to everything you see." Without the meaning or emotion that you attach to an event or circumstances, it has no emotional significance to you. And you can change the meaning by controlling your thinking. You can even eliminate its meaning altogether by refusing to become emotionally involved in a short-term setback. It's always up to you. Your ability to continuously deal with disappointment in a positive, constructive way will do more to enable you to succeed, and it will say more about you to other people than any other single factor. And this is a learned ability. All leaders of large organizations have developed the ability to respond effectively to large and small crises that occur unbidden, unexpectedly, and unavoidably. You must do the same. Decide in advance that no matter what happens, nothing will ever stop you. Decide in advance that although you will have countless ups and downs in the course of your life, you will keep on keeping on until you win through to your goals. When you make these decisions in advance, when you engage in mental pre-preparation, and then the inevitable problems do appear, you will be ready. You will be fast on your feet and ready to bounce instead of break. You will become virtually unstoppable.